Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We're talking about true spirituality, becoming a Romans 12 Christian. We always couple Romans 12 with Romans 8 as the two power scriptures of what you, how you should live in the kingdom of God. Romans 8 deals with the life in the spirit. Romans 12 deals with the practical life with the help of the Holy Spirit in the things that he's given you, the things that he's designed and destined you for, and those kind of things. Because this is not an independent or isolated situation you try to figure out. God has already laid it out in Romans 12. So let's start with verse 1. And if you can give me some tissue over here, this box is empty. Thank you. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you. Thank you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, thank you, and perfect will of God. So let's review these points here. Number one was, the first point is, how do we give God what he really wants? Thank you. How do we give God what he really wants? Well, number one is, everybody say total surrender, or total commitment. Commitment. Total commitment is the channel through which God's biggest and best blessings flow. So we first give our body to God, so we tell God, my flesh is not in charge, you are in charge. My body's not in control, the Lord is in control. Amen. That means Jesus gets to use your body. Paul said it another way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with what? Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, or in my body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, Jesus is using my body. I'm not calling the shots. I'm not pulling all the strings. I'm yours to command and control, Lord. That's total commitment. Some people don't like surrender because they feel like they're giving up my rights or privileges or benefits or something like that. No, surrender means tell that flesh, you stay down, Lord, you stay up. Now, some people haven't gotten to that point yet. Because the Lord doesn't tell you how to get up, when to get up. You get up when you want to get up. You know, one mentor of mine used to always tell me, he said, you can always tell your spiritual condition if you're late or not. You're always running late. I ain't trying to get in trouble the first day of October. So some people can't rule their body because they can't tell their body when to go to bed, and they can't tell their body when to get up. And then when they're getting up and getting ready, they can't tell them get on with it. You know, there was a man of God who's in heaven today. I call his name out. Everybody would know who it is. He would have a clock. Why? Because he was disciplining his flesh. I want to take an hour in the shower. Now, occasions you might have to soak in there and get some stuff done. But come on now, you're wasting time. Praise the Lord. Everybody say total commitment or total surrender. Now, the second verse, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody say, don't be conformed, but be transformed. So think about September, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, beautiful saints of God, how much transformation has occurred during the month of September. How how have you changed in areas of your thinking? The renewing of your mind. Because that second step is total transformation. What happens when we conform? We put a mask or masquerade or act, or we go into an acting mode where we're not showing our true selves. And our true selves as a Christian is who we are in Christ and who we are in the body of Christ. So anytime you conform to this world, you're not transformed. You're actually putting on a mask of who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ. Come on, come on, come on, come on, y'all here with me? In other words, I'm acting like who I'm not, or who God has not created and called me to be. Everybody say, take your mask off. What do you got to do to take your mask off? You got to get in Word and get the Word to transform your thinking. Amen? Because you still have old thinking or stale thoughts or stinking thinking that you need to get changed out, get renewed. And we said it before, you need to at least renew your mind as much as you do your hair. And for some of us, it's just once a day. We don't have a lot of hair, but some of you got to deal with it all the time. Somebody say, praise the Lord. That's the second one. Now look at verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, not to everyone among you who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. Everybody say, I have a measure of the God kind of faith. I have a measure of the mountain moving faith that created the world. Now, with that, you shouldn't think more highly or too low. Because we said, if you think more highly than you ought to yourselves, that's pride. The problem becomes, you think, I don't need nobody. Because he's getting ready to tell us, we are many members, one body. And the problem when you don't need nobody, or nobody can tell you what to do, you're too big in yourself, big in your own eyes, then you cause two things. If you either think too high or too low, we'll talk about too low in just a second, you cause relational conflict and disunity. Look at verse 3. In that verse, there's several times, I think three times in that verse. Think. You can't think too high, because pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. Because then you exclude people, you never include people. And we're many members, but one body. And too high, you think, I can do this all by myself. I don't need no help. I don't need nobody calling me or getting connected with anybody. Your relational connectedness, your relational chemistry gets messed up because you got conflict. Then you cause disunity because you're trying to say, I don't have need of you. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us that. I don't need you. I don't have to take my place and do my part in the body. That's dysfunction. That's not function. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, if you think too low, it's self-pity. That means there's not enough people that can cure my issues. I'm constantly a burden and a bother to everybody because I need more people praying, more people always holding me up. I never can help. The blood of Jesus can't help me. This is how bad it is. That's too low. Amen. Every one of us, when we take the communion elements today, at the communion table, he said, examine yourself. Jesus has done and paid it all. There's nothing in you, come on now, there's nothing in you that the blood can't cleanse. Woo! There's nothing in you that the blood can't. There's nothing in that's happening in you that the blood can't cure or correct. So you shouldn't take a victim mentality into this month after today. It should be over. Stop thinking too low. Because you think, ain't nobody help me. Can't nobody fix me. Can't nobody get this thing turned around. What you thinking? Why are you thinking that way? Well, praise the Lord. Are y'all here? I can't even go forward because y'all let me keep me stuck here. Okay. Let's keep going. Verse 4. For as we have many members, one body, all have members, they have the same office. For so we, being many, have one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Everybody say, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the gift given to me. So some of you have multiple gifts. Many of us have to. Let us use them. Not abuse them or misuse them or not use them. Use them. Your usage level should be higher as you go farther in Christ. See, that's why the whole retirement word is not even in the Bible. Because just as soon as people get enough knowledge, enough wisdom, and enough sense to get out of rain, it's been raining out here, people want to go home and go to heaven. Man, that's your best time of your life. Your golden years should be your glory years. Are you listening to me? 70, 80, 90, 100. Because you got generations to impact and generations to influence. Let us use these gifts. If prophecy, amen, God should use us bigger and better in prayer. And prophecy, according to the proportion of faith, in ministry, let us use this in our ministry. Him who teaches in teaching, he exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cling to that to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Everybody say, praise the Lord. And the ones we'll emphasize as we close today in today's message is verse 14. Listen, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And in Texas, just add the word cuss in there, too. Because you shouldn't be cursing, but you should not be cussing either. All right, everybody good? Rejoice with those who rejoice. Rejoice with those who weep. Be of the same mind one to another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. I'll say that again. Verse 17, repay no one for evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, what do? Feed him. If he's thirsty, what do? Give him a drink. If for doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, hallelujah. Now, we closed last Sunday talking about authentic community, and I want to touch on some final points I didn't get a chance to cover last week because of time, and I had to be sensitive to people's absorption of the word, and so we'll pick it up here now. So we'll go back to verse 9 with me for a moment, and it says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. That's very important instruction. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That's very powerful scriptures. These are things you should do to be behaving like a Christian. And then it says, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So we said last week that the love is the ultimate key to relationships. I'm talking about the God kind of love. I'm not talking about natural human love. So that everything, your love walk should be active, ongoing, all the time. Love is giving another person what they need the most, even though they may deserve the least. I didn't get an amen there. The least at personal cost. Because you know how it is when you're in family. Once they cross you up, once they cut you a couple times, All right. Love grows in community, not conformity. I want you to think about that for a moment. Or uniformity. Love grows in community, not conformity or uniformity. Unity in community through diversity wrapped in love. Does that mean, Pastor, everything's going to be perfect and everybody's going to be peaceful? No. It says abhor to that which is evil. The word abhor means to hate extremely or to, with contempt, to loathe, detest, or abominate. Now, what I should loathe, detest, or abominate about someone else, a brother or sister, is the evil that's trying to overcome them. I'm not supposed to loathe or detest them. Everybody follow me? So that should move us to say, I hate that what's happening to her, my sister. I hate that which, abhor that which is happening to my brother. Amen? Because those who love God hate evil. Believers are not to hate evil people. I don't care what party they belong to, how age, stage, situation there, you're not to hate people, but you hate evil. Are you listening to me? That the evil that corrupts and controls their lives. Man, brother, you know what? You know, I'm just thinking about holding my tithes back. I ain't getting nothing out of it. Well, is that thought good or evil? You're going to hate that stuff. But I ain't supposed to be going, man, let me knock you upside your head because you're talking about not tithing. That's hating on people. Somebody say, glory to God. Somebody say, hallelujah. Now, here's where the real rubber raw stuff comes out. Because people who are always in power struggles, they're always in relationship, but they're trying to gain control in that relationship. And many the people that have relational conflicts, because we're talking about authentic community, or who have, and people a lot of you throw this word out there, so I'm going to throw it out there, people who have narcissistic tendencies. So what is that, Pastor? Well, many of y'all heard of that term. They have a difficult time dealing with pride and selfishness because it's all about them, all about them winning, having my way, doing it my way, doing what I want. Things got to run the way I want them. Amen. So a narcissistic person, personality disorder, this is it's a mental health condition, but it's also a spiritual identity crisis. I think that's where psychologists left it off. Because it's not about just your mind. It's your identity too. Who you are in Christ. As a Christian, I'm talking about Christian people. Who you are in Christ. And it's a spiritual identity in Christ because you're not acting like who you God created you to be. God didn't create any of his children to be narcissistic or to deal with pride and selfishness to a point to where everybody's like, man, they always getting into people because they got to have things their way. Mm. So these people with a mental health condition and a spiritual identity crisis are people that have unreasonably high sense of their own importance and interest. That nothing else matters unless I'm in it or I'm doing it. Nobody knows anybody like that, do you? Okay. They need and seek too much attention and want people to admire, to attend to affirm, applaud, or approve them. Again, look at me, look at me. It could be somebody else's party or somebody else's birthday, but you trying to get the attention on who? Amen. Are y'all here with me today? Narcissistic people lack the ability to understand or care about the feelings and needs of others. Now, here's where it comes into authentic community. When you stop seeking to understand and showing care and concern for brothers and sisters, you pull in this way. You're not pushing this way. Are you listening to me? Your focus is inward. It's not upward and outward, like the scriptures just told us. Are you listening to me? So they lack the ability to understand and care about the feelings and needs of others so they can walk right by somebody in need and not be so insensitive or even just unobliviously just, I don't even know what's going on. Because I'm so absorbed or consumed with myself. Amen. See, these tendencies and traits are flesh and carnality and not spiritualized. They're based in hatred and love. And not love, excuse me. Hatred and not love. Because we said it before. To hate your brother is not to stick a knife in them or her. Your brother or sister. It is to what? Begin to detest them, despise them, and dishonor them. That's the beginning of it. That means I'm going to withhold what you need. I got the need, but I'm going to withhold it from you. Because I despise you, detest you, or I dishonor you. I don't care about you. I care about what I got going on in my life. That's why we said real community starts cutting its teeth on those two questions you come to church with. Who do I help? What do I learn? In honor, giving preference to one another. See, it means if someone truly loves another person, they will pursue what is best for them, even if it's costly. See, gifts are simply for people's, not just for simply people's enjoyment, but for the good of the church. Now, everybody remembers that one talent Christian, right? That one talent Christian, what was his big deal? The Lord called him wicked and lazy. We just read their scriptures, right? Not lagging in spirit, not lazy. Fervent in spirit, sir. That means I'm supposed to work in the body and work out of the body with diligence, with devotion, with sacrifice. Glory to God. Preacher, pastor, you're doing good. You're doing real good today. Praise God. Romans 12:10. Look at this. Be devoted and tenderly loving to your fellow believers. Be devoted. Passion translation. Romans 12:10. As members of one family. We're one family. But what happens when people start breaking off, doing their own thing and doing their own, what they want to do, come and go as they want? Not accountable, not responsible, being irresponsible relationally with other people. I don't pray for you. I don't care for you. You can't build authentic community that way. Amen. He said, try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. Try to outdo each other. So he said, authentic community occurs when, number one, the real you, who is the real you, who you are in Christ, meets the real needs for the right reasons, the right way. Verses 9 through 13. The real you meets real needs for the right reasons in the right way. Somebody say, praise the Lord. The real you, verse 9, don't just pretend to love others, really love them, hate what is wrong, hold tightly to that which is good. It means authenticity, means being sincere and purity. Hate what is wrong and evil. Don't be a phony. Don't bring in impure stuff. Cling, hold tightly what is good. Real needs. What's the real needs? Devotion, honor, and humility. Love each other with genuine love, genuine affection. Take delight in honoring each other. Take delight. What's that mean, sister? That means I got to be really excited and really encouraged when I honor my brother and sister. I take delight in it. I got the chance to honor her. I got to honor him. Y'all thinking y'all going home. You good? Everybody good? For the right reason. What's the right reason? Verse 11. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Motive and method. Diligence and enthusiasm is the method. That means I'm not coming to church to do what? Church? I'm not coming just to sit. I know you're sitting right now. I'm coming to serve. God didn't save me to. What do we sit on? Our gifts, our calling, our covenants. We take communion today, and our commitments to each other and the Lord. Those are things we're accountable for. You know, some people think, well, I'm thinking about myself. Being accountable means I'm responsible and accountable. Then that means I'm going to have to give an account. What have I done, Lord? What you called me to do, who you called me to be, where you called me to be, amen, the gifts that you've given me, amen, my covenant, because, see, membership is partnership. It's like a covenant. God doesn't do any casual contracts. He does a covenant. I'll never leave you, nor what? Forsake you. That means I'm never going to disappear from you, not be there, and physically, and then I'm not going to turn my heart away from you. Amen. That's spiritually and emotionally. God says, I'm never going to turn my heart away. And see, in authentic communities, sometimes people turn their heart away because their heart is turned inward and not upward or outward. Woo! Glory to God. Will I ever, Lord, slow that clock down so I get to the real. Your motive has to be right. That means your heart has to not be turned away from people. When you walk through the door, you should not be sitting down, but more importantly, never shutting down on your brothers and sisters. Are y'all here with me? Because you can tell, you know, I told you I've been there before, sitting on the front row as an associate pastor. Sometimes, you know, I get to a place where you just cool off and lag in zeal. You're not burning with the Spirit. And somebody, what's the big deal of that? That's just me. That's just my life. But you're affecting everybody else in the body. Because the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffer, all the members. So if one man is honored, we all rejoice. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. So my motive should always, I'm here to help. I'm here to learn. Lord, who do you want me to help today? They don't have a job for me to do yet or volunteer or do something like that. But what am I doing? I'm helping. I'm coming here to learn. My job's not to judge. I'm here to learn. I'm here to help. I'm here to serve. I'm yours to command, Lord. I'm not here to judge. That's the right reason. Look at the right way. Look at the right way. Now, we always say, they say in the street, don't get this twisted. Everybody say, don't get this twisted. The right way. This is the right way to do it. Verse 12 and 13. Look at this. Romans 12, 12 and 13. Rejoice in our confident hope. New Living Translation, I'm reading out. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Everybody say, that's upward. That's upward focus. And then when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. And always be eager to practice hospitality. Everybody say, that's outward. Now, the upward focus and an outward focus is the right way to build authentic community. NIV says, be rejoiced, joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. In prayer. In prayer. Patient in affliction. And be joyful in hope. In other words, we've read in King James, says rejoice. But another translation says be joyful. Share the Lord's people, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Have you been practicing? See, someone once said, your outlook determines your outcome. And I believe that's true. When we feel tired, we feel overwhelmed, we feel underappreciated, our focus quickly turns inward. We think about what we don't have and what has not been coming through for us. We focus our prayers on prayers that have not been answered and relationships that have been troubling. Where we go? Go inward. We first zoom out from God, upward focus, and we zoom in on what's wrong. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with my circumstances? Our minds then drift and drop. You don't just drift, you drop. You drift away from God, but you drop down. Usually in the bottomless pit of discouragement, depression, and despair. Unconsciously, what we don't like and what's wrong with our circumstances, wishing things were better, and we quickly lose proper and purposeful perspective. We launch a mini pity party. I know there's usually birthday parties happening every month, every weekend, sometimes, seems like birthday parties are happening. Because you go on Facebook and you see all the people, happy birthday, happy birthday. But how many mini pity parties are being had? And we lift up that pity party for ourselves and whoever will listen and partake in our grumbling, complaining, and critical spirit. Who's that person that you go to and start puking your guts out at? Now, I say puking your guts because that's what it is. Complaining, grumbling, and critical spirit is like throwing up on people. See, an inward focus over a long period of time can produce discouragement, depression, and despair. An inward focus, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, will gradually lead to bad thoughts, bad theology, and set unrealistic expectations that will make us the kind of people who give up on God, give up on ourselves, and give up on other people. Everybody say, help me, Lord. So authentic community demands an upward and outward focus. But the problem is people doesn't realize that it demands an upward focus, because authentic community is always built in midst of opposition when things are going bad. Because Jesus gave us the worst case scenario. Love the extreme stuff. Hate the bad stuff. Love the enemies. Right? So loving Christians and living like Christians is a big faith statement. Amen. And building the church. Now, what's the right way to do this? Through the supernatural power of Christ. Sit down at the table. I need help, Lord. Because either you've been hit or hurt or wounded, you need to get healed. Amen. The wrong way is attempting to build authentic community out of the power of your own self-effort. I'm going to do this better. I'm going to do this. And you get a stiff upper lip and you try to make it happen through your flesh. I'm going to clean my house up. I'm going to straighten out my house. I'm going to straighten out my finances. I'm going to straighten out my area of ministry and church. We try to wield our personality and through the energy and strength of our flesh. It takes spirituality. Never carnality. Who you are in Christ, who you are in the body of Christ, appointed and anointed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, that builds and blesses and benefits authentic community in Christ. Everybody say, in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I'm going to get my boys ready in just a minute. My two little fellas. Man, these guys are going to be running the church after a while. Along with Kobe, once he gets up moving. You got to develop an inward focus. How do you develop an inward focus? All right, so I'm going to use, who wants to come first? Dre or Donnie? Okay, Donnie. Come on, Donnie. Come on, Donnie. You can, all right, stand, give Donnie a hand. Come on, give him a hand. Give him a hand. All right, so you're going to do 1, 2, 3 for me, okay? So I'm going to tell you what to do. You're going to look at everybody, and you're going to do it with your fingers, too. So you go 1, 2, 3. But I'm going to have you act it out, okay? All right. How do you develop an upward focus? Number one, rejoice in hope. Everybody say rejoice in hope. This refers to a mindset of eternal perspective. So, Donnie, I want you to look up. With the number one, look up. Look up, look up, look up in the sky. And you've got to rejoice is unaffected by our circumstances, and it's rooted in hope. Things may be difficult, but what happens? Circumstances may be tough, but our hope does not change. Everybody say, praise the Lord. All right, number two. Everybody say number two. Okay, Donnie, hold up number two. Persevering or patient in tribulation. Everybody knows this, but everybody doesn't do it. Count it all joy when you what? Fall into divers, temptation, tests, or trial. James chapter 1. Count it all joy. Everybody say, count it a joy. So, Donnie, get joyful. Get joyful. Get happy. Do the baby dance. Hallelujah. Okay, there he is. So, count it all joy. You got to jump for joy. He didn't say it was a joy, but you got to count it all joy. Why we got to go up and look at people and say, I want you to feel sorry for me because I'm really having not a joyful time. What did the Bible say? Count it all joy. Hallelujah. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works what? Patience. Your perseverance. Your cheerful endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, what? Wanting or lacking nothing. Somebody said, praise the Lord. We ought to be doing the word, right? Number three. All right, Donnie. Thank you, Donnie. Number three, devoted to prayer. That's a resource. That's why we cannot not have prayer, pre-service prayer, corporate prayer. Why? That's the resource. That's the power plant. If you don't know how to pray, you're cutting yourself off from your, all your divine resources. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. How do you do what you do and what you need to do? Your prayer must increase. Your increasing prayer helps keep your heart dedicated to God and to God's people. If you don't pray, you're going to lose your heart for God and you're going to lose your heart for people. And prayer keeps your flesh disciplined to the things you need to do and the things you don't need to do doing. Without prayer life, loving others, and life of encouraging others gets real bigger than you can handle. I don't want to deal with nobody. I want to go in a closet in a cocoon by myself and just sulk down. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say thank you, John. Donnie. Thank you, Donnie. Thank you, Donnie. Come on. Say hey. Gets richer each week. All right, come on up, Dre. Everybody say upward focus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Dre. Thank you, Donnie. So those three things are important. So just like Johnny was holding his hands up. Are you doing the three things? All the time. Why? That keeps you from zooming in to what's wrong with you. But reversing it, zoom out to what's wrong with you and what's wrong with your situation, certain, and zoom in on what's right with God. This is all going to be over soon and very soon. We're going to see the King. Amen? We're going to have to endure trials and tests of life. But he tells us how to triumph through them. Count it all joy. Come on now. Let patience have its perfect work. Be perfect and ask for wisdom if you don't know what to do. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then now we have two outward focus. So thank you. He's already got two out there. So just hold your two hands out like this, Dre. Point them out like this. Yeah, just wave them around. Both hands. What's your outward focus? Dre is representing. It looks good, by the way. Bumblebee shirt. I like that. So it means what? I need to be looking, not only looking up, but I need to be looking out. Who am I looking out for? You. I'm listening to my heart. Get back into carrying cash in your pocket, your wallet. Why? You might be used by the Lord. Go buy somebody's lunch. Go give somebody some gas money. So are you listening to me? You're looking out for needs. Are y'all here with me? And then it says, be given to hospitality. Everybody say, hospitality begins with my heart. So Dre, hold your heart. Hold your heart right there. Your heart must be open before your hospitality is given. You open your heart. You open your hand, you open your home. You're looking. One translation says, practice hospitality means to pursue strangers. That means my heart automatically be enlarging for what? New people to come into my life. New people to shake my hand. New people for me to bless them, even in my own home. Woo, glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you. All right, Dre, here you go, buddy. Good job, buddy. Now, didn't you have a birthday this week? Here you go. See, birthday is always double. So, happy birthday, Dre. Hey, hallelujah. You'll get double, too. You'll get triple when your birthday comes around. So you'll get taken care of. All right. Everybody good? Everybody say, Lord, thank you for helping me with authentic community. Now, listen to me. You will never be able to overcome the evil that is aimed at you if you don't learn how to live in authentic community. Because we're going to read these verses. Most people can't handle this stuff because they hadn't done this stuff, the other stuff. Are you listening? All right, real quick. Let's get through it. Romans 12, 14. Look what it says. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not what? And we said, like you said in Texas, or cuss. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. That means you adapt to people. If they're rejoicing, you rejoice. One of the things that the spirit of the age, the individualism spirit that's out there, the people that are selfish and hateful, they can't rejoice with other people, even over a birthday. Not my birthday. I didn't get a promotion. How come you got a promotion? Don't just tolerate people. Celebrate. Somebody say hallelujah. So let me rejoice when they rejoice. Pastor got a new car. We all ought to be running down the street saying, praise God, hallelujah, glory to God. Pastor, I got a new car. Yes, let's rejoice. Let's thank God for it. Put our hands on it. Thank the Lord for the blessings. And then you say, well, okay, I'm next in line, I guess. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't be jealous or crazy or acting like, they're getting blessed. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Be of the same mind toward one another. Don't set your mind on high things, but be associated with people with who? The humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. In other words, humble yourself and pray. And humble yourself and play. Hallelujah. Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it possible, much depends on you. Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, what are you doing? Now, I don't see a lot of that. Enemy is basically somebody who's hating you. Now, I know. I don't have to show your hands. I know sometimes people get salty when you cook for people and they're ungrateful or unthankful about it. And they're looking for you to cook for them again. And you go, huh? What you talking about? You ungrateful thing, you cooking for. If your enemy what? What do? You feed him. If he's thirsty, what do? Hey, drinking my juice. I bought that juice. What's wrong with you? Oh, are y'all here with me? He coves a fire. Don't overcome, be overcome by evil. That's not our destiny. That's not our design. But overcome evil with what? A couple more scriptures as we close. Matthew 5, 43, 50. This is the instruction. Look what it says. Have you heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy? That's the Old Testament, old way. Now we're born again, believers in truth. What does it say? But I say to you, this is the Lord Jesus, love your what? Now, ask yourself this question as we're closing. Do you love your worst enemy? Or have you loved your worst enemy? We hadn't even started the track yet. He said, love your enemies. He said, what? Bless those who do what? It is reinforcing what Jesus taught, right? This is advanced teaching. That means to say something good about or do something good to. Bless those. They cursed you. They're not saying stuff good about you. They're not doing things good to you. But you turn around and bless them. Everybody say, help me, Lord. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. There's 4 points that we should practice right there. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, that he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. This is what the Lord instructs us. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Whoever you bless, you take the ability from them, away from them to hurt you. And I'm telling you, as we're closing, you can stand. Go ahead and stand. I'm telling you right now by the Holy Spirit, some of you let people hurt you because you haven't been blessing and loving them. Hallelujah. Yes, I heard that. Some of you let your family members or your friends or your children hurt you. And that's not ordained by God. Because a lie's been told, a wound's been felt, and a sin's been committed. Now let me tell you about those three. The lie is the devil telling you they don't love you, they don't care about you. They can throw you off a bridge and won't even think a second about it. It's a lie. The wound is he's letting that thing fester in you. And you can't get forward in the relationship or in the situation because you're wounded. But the Bible says, Psalms 145, God heals the broken in heart and he binds up the wounds. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then the sin is we stop loving and forgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift your hands and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, ladies, we got to live this thing. Authentic community is real. It's a real experience for us to enjoy and practice. And this way we overcome the evil that's aimed at us. Because the devil can get you sideways, relationally conflicting with people and things out there, then he's going to throw something at you, evil. And if he can divide you, he'll destroy you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Blessed be the